Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you go to a meeting, that meeting has an agenda, meaning that there are specific items needing to be covered. We know that annually God makes 7 appointments with us for the general purpose of teaching us about His 7-stage plan of salvation for humanity. But what are the specific items needing to be covered during each of these meetings? In our last program, we covered the agenda for our Passover appointment with God, since Passover is the first of the 7 annual appointments with God. These appointments with God are better known as the 7 annual Feasts of the Lord, and you can read about those in Leviticus chapter 23. In Leviticus chapter 23, you have all 7 of them listed in order. The agenda for the Passover was to teach us that Passover pictures love and life through Jesus Christ. And we drew that conclusion because it was through the love of God that He ordained that Jesus Christ should die for the remission of our sins. So even though Jesus Himself never sinned, He died so that we would not have to die. And therefore, we have life. And that is the love of God, that He gave His only begotten Son so that whoever believed on Him would not perish but have eternal life. So again, the agenda for the Passover was to teach us that the Passover pictures love and life through Jesus Christ. The second appointment with God is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So what is the agenda for the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Well, unleavened bread pictures Christ in us. I'll repeat that. Unleavened bread pictures Christ in us. Now, how is that? Well, the days of unleavened bread symbolizes the reality that Jesus, our bread of life, lives in us to make us righteous, thereby guaranteeing our eternal life. And we have to accept this gift of eternal life and of righteousness by faith, just like we accept by faith that Christ's death forgives us of our sins. We also have to accept by faith that Jesus living in us gives us righteousness and eternal life. We cannot earn forgiveness of sins. It has to be a gift that we receive by faith. In like manner, we cannot do anything to make ourselves righteous. We have to accept by faith that Jesus Christ, who is the only one that kept the law perfectly and therefore is the only one who is truly righteous, that because He lives in us, we also are righteous. Also, we cannot do anything to earn eternal life. All that we have earned by our actions is death. It says, the wages of sin is death, and all of us have sinned, so therefore we have all earned the wage of death. So we can't earn salvation. We can't earn eternal life. All we can do is earn death. Therefore, we have to accept by faith that just as Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead and given eternal life because He dwells in us, we also will be given eternal life. And this is the beautiful, beautiful picture of unleavened bread. It pictures Christ in us to make us righteous and to guarantee our eternal life. Now let me ask you a question. After we are saved from sin, does it make sense to go back into sin? No, of course not. After we are saved from sin, pictured by the Passover, we have to understand that we are saved to righteousness, pictured by the days of unleavened bread. And we can see this perfect picture, this two-part picture of being saved from sin and saved to righteousness in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. So let's turn there, please. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll read verses 8 through 10. And you're going to notice as we go through it, again, these two parts. And the first part of this passage is Passover language, because the Passover language says that we are saved from sin. So notice this: for by grace are you saved through faith, and that even is not of yourselves. Even this faith is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Now we're going to turn to the second part of this passage, and we're going to see that this part is unleavened bread language, because unleavened bread pictures Christ in us to make us righteous and to give us eternal life. So we're picking back up here in Ephesians, the second chapter. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the purpose of doing good works, which God has ordained for us to do. So I'm going to read this again. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the purpose of doing good works, which God has ordained for us to do. There's no contradiction in that scripture. We are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God. It is not of works, lest anybody would boast. If anybody could do enough works to earn their salvation, to earn eternal life, to earn forgiveness of sins, then they would have plenty to boast of. But nobody can do that, so no one can boast, because our works, again, just bring us to death, because the wages of sin are death. So there's no contradiction here. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, it is not of works, lest any man should boast. But the second part of the equation says, for we are God's workmanship. God is the one that's doing the work. It's not of our works, lest we should boast. It is of God's work, for we are God's workmanship. We have been created in Christ Jesus for the express purpose of doing good works, which God has ordained for us to do. So there are works for us to do, but they are the works of God. It is God's workmanship, and He is working in us through Jesus Christ to make us righteous, and He has given us eternal life. So again, I ask the question, does it make sense that after we have been saved from sin, that we go back into sin? Of course not. Once we have been saved from sin, we then walk in righteousness. We don't sin anymore. That is what occurs through God's work, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ in us. And now let's take a look at seven biblical clues that God gives us regarding the symbolism of the days of unleavened bread. Because there's a lot of symbolism in the days of unleavened bread, and if we understand these clues that God gives us, it's going to unlock so much meaning. It will unlock the richness of the reality of what these days of unleavened bread really are all about. And I'll give you these seven clues, and then we'll read the scripture where we find all seven of these clues. The first clue: for 7 days, unleavened bread was to be eaten. The second clue: leavening was to be eliminated from their homes prior to the first day and kept out during the 7 days of the feast. The third clue: anyone who ate leavening during the 7 days of unleavened bread was to die. The fourth clue: on the first and seventh days, all of the Israelites were to have congregational worship services. The fifth clue: on the first and seventh days, all of the Israelites were to rest from their works, except the work needed to be done for meal preparation. Clue number six: on the first day, they were delivered from Egypt into a new land and a new life. And clue number seven: Israel was to keep this feast forever. So these are seven clues that God gives us in this passage I'm about to read. And if we can understand the meaning behind these clues, the meaning for us today, the Israel of God, the Church of God, If we can understand the meaning that's jam-packed into these clues, we will just really be so awe-inspired at the work that God is doing in us. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the purpose of doing good works. So notice the works of God here in Exodus chapter 12, verses 15 through 20. This is Exodus chapter 12, verses 15 through 20. God introduces the Feast of Unleavened Bread to Israel through Moses. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day shall be cut off from Israel. In the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them except that which every man must eat. On the first day of unleavened bread I will bring your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this feast in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month and at the end, or in the first month at the end of the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the end of the 21st day of the month at evening. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whoever eats that which is leavened shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations you shall eat unleavened bread. So, did you find the 7 clues? Let's enumerate them again. Number 1. For 7 days unleavened bread was to be eaten. Number 2. Leavening was to be eliminated from their homes prior to the first day and kept out during the 7 days of the feast. Number 3. Anyone who ate leavening during the 7 days of unleavened bread was to die. Number 4. On the first and 7 days, they were to have congregational worship services. Number 5. On the first and 7th days, they were to rest from their works except meal preparation. Number 6. On the first day, they were delivered from Egypt into a new land and a new life. And number 7. Israel was to keep this feast forever. Before we reveal the meaning of the 7 clues, let's ask the bigger question. What is unleavened bread? The English word for unleavened comes from the Hebrew word matzah, and that's spelled M-A-T-S-T-S-A-H. That's matzah. According to Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, matzah means hastily devouring for sweetness, i.e., the bread has not had time to be soured or become bittered or become fermented with yeast. So, by eating the bread hastily, devouring it for its sweetness, we're not allowing it to become bittered or fermented with yeast. So now it's time to unlock the meaning of the 7 clues. Well, then again, maybe it's not time to unlock the meaning of the 7 clues because we're out of time. So you'll need to come back for our next program so that we can unlock these 7 clues.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.